Quarter past seven here on 2SER Breakfast. We have hit Friday. We have done it. We have gotten to the end of the week. It's time, of course, though, to jump in our time machines and head back to Monday, take a quick look back at the week that was. Just reminding us what we've lived through this week. Max Grebe is in with the weekly wrap. How's it going, Max?
Pretty good, Tess. How are you?
I'm great. I'm ready to jump in the time machine and take a look back.
All right. Well, I mean, you're going back a fair way. I was just sitting in the newsroom with Liam before, and we were reminiscing about Monday, which, of course, was the day after the US Open's women's final.
Oh, gosh. That was only... Oh, my God.
That was only this week.
Wow.
How have we managed to pack all of that into this week? You had the sporting event itself, which took place on Sunday. Naomi Osaka, of course, won. And then all the fallout has continued through the week.
This has only been going on for a week. Wow.
So we'll get to that as we go. On Monday, a news poll came out that showed the coalition was facing a wipeout at the next election,
ooh,
which is not unexpected. Labor leading on a two-party preferred vote of 56% to 44%.
Wow, that's a wipeout.
Still, Scott Morrison ahead of Bill Shorten as preferred Prime Minister, 42% to 36%.
You've got to wonder what Bill Shorten has to do to become preferred Prime Minister. We've seen the complete implosion of the Liberal Party, and still Scott Morrison comes out on top.
You're right. I'm not really sure there is anything that he can... I asked the question, is there anything that he can do? No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that there is. I think people have their feelings about Bill Shorten pretty much sort of nailed on at this point. He's been around for long enough that if you don't have an opinion about him, you're not going to have a good one.
Yeah, well, this is... Oh, I mean, like you said, the party preferred, absolute wipeout, yet he still can't quite nail that Prime Minister, preferred Prime Minister poll.
Mm. Confusingly, the next day, another poll came out. So this was Morrison ahead 42% to 36%. The next day, Morrison was ahead 39% to 27%.
Oh.
I don't understand polls. I don't know how they do these things.
I think I don't know. I think it depends, but they just kind of call around, I think. But, you know, we saw after the US election, people were wondering what the point of them even is, because all the polls said that Hillary would win.
Well, exactly. And I mean, when the coalition sweeps to victory at the next election, we'll all be able to
we'll look back
and
this.
See how wrong we all were.
That'll be a fun news update.
More from earlier in the week, we had the Trump administration stepping up attempts to root out the author of the New York Times op-ed, which caused a stir in Washington last week. They still haven't got to the bottom of that.
Still don't know who that was.
It wasn't Pence.
Okay.
It wasn't Melania.
Okay. Good. Okay.
Wasn't Barron. We can keep going through the funny members of the Trump household. Wasn't any of them. They're still looking for whoever it was.
Okay. We're still searching.
In Trump news, on Tuesday was the 17th anniversary of 7/11? September 11.
September 11, yes.
September 11th, Donald Trump tweeted, and I think not a credit to him that this is his second worst 9/11 tweet.
Second, what was his worst? Continue.
This one, this year, was just pretty simple. He kept it simple. 17 years since September 11th. An exclamation mark at the end of that.
That was it?
That was it. That was all. Usually he offers thoughts and prayers, which he did 5 years ago when he tweeted, I would like to extend my best wishes to all, even the losers and the haters, on this very special date.
That's
September
right.
11th.
I forgot the losers and the haters.
That was back when he was fun on Twitter. People forget that before he became president, Donald Trump was just a wine mum on Twitter.
Twitter. Oh, there were some bad September 11 tributes as well. I saw one floating around from an essential oils company, and they had replaced a picture of the Twin Towers, the two towers. They had two bottles of essential oils.
Mm.
That was bad. I think there was CrossFit, some CrossFit center in the States as well, had made a memorial workout where you had to do, I think it was 9 reps of something, 11 reps of something else, run 200 meters and then do one something else. So it became 9/11/2001.
I mean, I was only telling you yesterday that The Onion have this sort of piece that they put up every year now of a Subway promo, which is
yes,
two Subway sandwiches, obviously standing up, and you can fly on in for two for $9.11. Two people printed out this this meme, took it into a Subway shop, came out with two sandwiches.
They did it. They actually cashed in the meme.
It actually worked.
Oh, it's horrific. Jeez.
Let's move on.
Yep. That's good decision.
Oh, you know, I've moved on a little bit too quickly there and skipped right over Wednesday. More than a million people along the east coast of the US were on Wednesday bracing for Hurricane Florence. I should have read ahead here because Hurricane Florence has currently hit the US.
Oh, it has. It's made landfall.
Well, it's just beginning to lash the United States. So we tuned into ABC News at 6 o'clock this morning. They've got someone over in North Carolina standing on a pier just in the rain. They crossed over, said, it's looking pretty wet out there. She said, yes, it is.
Oh.
They've just crossed back to her now. It's looking a whole lot more wet. So we'll keep you updated on just how wet it is.
She hasn't been blown off the pier yet.
She hasn't been blown off. And in fact, talking of how wet it is, that was another thing that Donald Trump said in his announcement a few days ago when talking about how people should evacuate. He said, this storm is unprecedented. It is, and this is a quote, tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's not. I mean, he's got it right. You can't say, you can argue with Donald Trump a lot of the time. You can pick apart what he says. But when he says that this hurricane is going to be tremendously big and tremendously wet, he's bang on.
It's true. He's not. Yep.
He's not wrong. That's all there is to say on that one. Wednesday, you also had Mark Knight's cartoon.
Oh, this has only been going on since Wednesday.
Mm. We so much has been said about that.
Yep.
And I don't know. I don't want to touch it.
No,
I don't
really that happened.
That happened on Wednesday.
Okay.
Also on Wednesday, you had the first incidences of these strawberries.
Oh, the strawberry. Back at a needleless strawberry time.
Yep. Can you remember that? Back in the day when you could just bite into a strawberry without fear of being stuck with a needle.
The good old days.
Or a copycat object, a small silver rod, which I read this morning and thought, well, is that not a needle?
That's what a needle is, to my knowledge.
They continue searching for the needle culprit in Queensland. Someone in a southeast Queensland farm, a disgruntled employee who was sticking needles into strawberries. Didn't have quite enough time to work out how I was going to do finding a needle in a strawberry.
Needle in a strawberry punnet.
Strawberry punnet thing, but.
Insert joke here.
You know, the idea is there. So
yeah, you're halfway there. I'll give you points for that.
Come back another time. We can figure that out. on Thursday, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but archaeologists in South Africa confirmed they found what is believed to be the oldest known drawing.
That's right.
Squeak from my chair there. they found the oldest known drawing in South Africa. A couple of lines on a rock. They don't know what it means. They say, what I do know is that it could look very abstract to us, but it could mean something to people in the traditional society who produced it.
So, that's right. It was the crosshatch, wasn't it?
That's right. Pushing back the oldest drawing recorded, previously believed about 40,000 years old.
That's pretty cool, though. That's another situation where the numbers are so big that my head won't wrap around it.
I know. And unlike being able to say, well, you can buy, you know, 12 million chocolate bars, with 12 million $1 chocolate bars with $12 million, it's a little bit harder to put that into, to sort of break down years like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's no, I've...
This drawing was 73,000 years old.
Wow.
So if you can imagine a 73-year-old person...
1,000 of them.
1,000 of them. Yeah, that's... Yep. like that.
We currently sound like those 5-year-olds who are like, oh my God, you're 18, you're so old. No concept of time.
No concept of time, yeah. Oh, look, anything above 30 looks to be pretty old to me, so...
Oh, rough.
what are we looking at here? Friday. Made it to the end of the week.
We
made it to the end of the week. And we got people sticking copycat rods into strawberries. We've got Dave Sharma over in the seat of Wentworth, who won the Liberal pre-selection last night.
He got it, yes.
That's right. So I was maybe not particularly surprised. I think there were 8 women who went forward for this. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it came down to 2 men.
Oh, did it?
Came down to Dave Sharma and another.
Another man.
Mr. A... Another. came down to those two, and the ABC understands there were audible gasps when Catherine O'Regan went out. Catherine O'Regan was the front runner, the supposed front runner. But Dave Sharma, a former ambassador to Israel, had the backing of John Howard and Malcolm Turnbull.
Well, you can't really, I mean, in the Liberal Party, go past the backing of John Howard, I imagine.
No, you can't really, despite the best efforts of our current Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, almost forgot his name there for a second.
Which one's our Prime Minister?
Announced him by the title. Current Prime Minister Scott Morrison was lobbying for a female candidate to take the position, but Dave Sharma will lead the Liberals into the by-election in Wentworth in October.
That one would be definitely interesting to watch. Good times.
Good times. Finishing off this week, light rails costing more. storms hitting the Philippines, storms hitting the US, and we'll wrap it up. This is my last day in as news director.
It is. Jeff is back.
We've got Jeff back. Jeff's been in Croatia. He's been in Greece.
He's been everywhere,
man.
He's
got plenty of stories. He's been everywhere. Plenty of stories to regale us with when he comes back. I'm sure we're all looking forward to that.
Oh, it's been good having you in. Thanks,
no,
Max.
No, thank you. Cheers.
Max Grieve with the weekly wrap. Jumping back in that time machine, looking back at the week that was. Back in a time where we weren't finding needles in strawberries. What a time to be alive.